Heavenly Father, we praise you for this hour together, where we have come in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to glorify you, to lift you high, to come together as one body in Christ, to hear your word preached, that we might grow. We pray that your Holy Spirit will move and work in each heart. May the word bear fruit in each of our lives. Father, we do pray if anyone is here today who has not yet put their trust in Christ to save them from their sins and give them eternal life. We pray that they will call upon him today before this service ends. And we pray that for all of us who know Jesus, again, your Spirit will minister what each of us needs today. You know each heart. And we pray that all that happens here will bless and benefit all of us as we seek your face together. We commit this time to you and give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's look in our Bible to Acts chapter 15. Kind of an in-between passage here, but I thought it was important that we look at this. Acts chapter 15, beginning at verse 36, and going through chapter 16, verse 12. Acts 15, 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him, because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders who were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Have a word of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word through our hearts as we see the missionary journey of Paul and Silas and all that they are going through, and and all of this wonderful preaching of the gospel, souls being saved and Christians being served, we just thank you and praise you for the work that you have done in the past. As you see here in the book of Acts, and as we know from history, we just thank you, Lord, that you use your word to bring many to Christ, to show them the way of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray this morning that you will undertake for each one of us and help us to walk in such a way as to be a witness for Christ in our life day by day. We just pray, our Father, your holy will be done today in each one of our lives, that we might look to you for daily guidance. And we pray, dear Father, for those who are suffering this morning. We know there are those who have physical sickness, some who have emotional or spiritual sickness. We pray for them. And we pray that you will undertake for them, assure them of your presence, help them to know how much you love them. And Lord, may we all look to you and find that strength that we need for our lives day by day. We do thank you, our Heavenly Father, for every good and perfect gift that you send our way, the blessings of life. We just pray that you will continue to guide us and lead us in all that we do, that we might be pleasing in your sight. We do pray for our missionaries this morning, our Father. We thank you for the privilege we have of supporting these missionaries. Pray that you will use them in a mighty way to reach many people with the gospel, and that they might know you as their Lord and Savior. Our Father, we just pray for our country this morning. Lord, as we get closer and closer to the election time, I just pray that everything would go according to your will. Lord, we don't understand. We've been talking about this quite a bit in Sunday school and other places, and we know, Lord, that you are working. You're the one who helped us establish this nation. And certainly you're able to keep it on an even keel. And we pray that your holy will might be done. Oh God, help us. We need you so much. And Lord, we just pray that you will give us the wisdom and understanding to know how we can serve you in a better way. Thank you for your word. Thank you for every blessing of life. And we'll thank you for all your goodness and grace to us. In Jesus' name. I do want to thank those who provided the ice cream social on Friday evening. I think everyone enjoyed that. We had some visitors with us as well, the children playing the games and all of that. I thought it was a good time. And appreciate that very much to those that were involved in that. All right. Look with me again, if you would, into Acts chapter 15. And I'm going to look at these verses that we just read a few moments ago. Now, this is concerning Paul's second missionary journey. They had gone the first time, you remember. And according to some people, William Barclay mentioned, it's been about 5 years since they did the first missionary journey, and now Paul comes to Barnabas and he says, hey, do you think we should go back and visit the churches and encourage the believers and find out how they're doing? That's what it's all about, isn't it? Paul and Barnabas here, they had completed their first journey successfully, right? They saw many, many people saved. They saw churches established, and God blessed in a marvelous way. And now he visited the provinces of Cilicia and Galatia. You remember, Paul was from Cilicia, right? Tarsus of Cilicia is where he came from. And so they went back to that area and were reaching people there. So many had been saved, baptized, and established in their faith. Leaders were appointed, put elders or deacons in every church, so that they could continue on with their work there. And they wanted to go back now and see how things are going. they didn't have all of the means of communication that we have today, you know. They couldn't look on the computer and send an email to these guys, you know. There was no way to do any of that. They had to go in person and maybe send a letter, but then that would take several months sometimes to get there. So anyway, we find here that they decided to go back and visit these people. And then we find there's a problem. Huh? What do you think? Problems do crop up, don't they? And here we find these two men, Paul and Barnabas, have a disagreement. They can't agree on something. They're both old, they're ready to go. You know, they want to go in and visit these churches and encourage them and all of that. But Barnabas says, hey, you know, last time, John Mark, went along with us. Hey, can we take him again? Paul says, hey, don't you remember? He did not make the trip all the way through. He left us back in Pamphylia up there and returned to Jerusalem. Why? I don't know. But it wasn't a good reason for Paul. He said, no, we're not going to take John Mark. He left us. We don't want that to happen again. We need someone there to help us. And so we have this disagreement here. And you notice these men, both of them, were Jewish people, you know. Even though they're saved, converted and all of this, but I think there's a little bit of a stubbornness and hard-headedness here. I'm not saying that all of the Jews feel that way. I think the rest of us have our problems as well, right? But we see here that they would not give in one way or the other. Barnabas says, we're going to take John Mark. Paul says, absolutely not. Okay, so here we are. So what do you do in a case like that? Well, it says in verse 39, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Uh-oh. You ever been in the church split? Most of you probably have, the older ones anyway. I know I've seen a few of them. And it's not very pleasant. You know, when people disagree and they will not relinquish. You know, no, we're going to make the carpet red. No, we're going to make the carpet blue. There you go. What are you going to do? Well, the ones that decided that the majority decided to make a red carpet, the elders went down the street and started the Second Baptist Church. Right? There you go. That's what happened. And here, now this was a little more important than that because they're doing missionary work and it affects everything they're doing. You might say, well, you know, why not go ahead and try John Mark again? But no, he didn't. Later on, though, he did. You remember the story? Later, Paul said, bring Mark with you, for he is beneficial to me for the ministry. Huh? So he could change. You know, we give up sometimes too soon, don't we? You know, and that's what happened here. We find that Paul would not take him. Barnabas insisted that he go. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Okay? Here we go. And I don't know what kind of mood these people were in. What do you think? Do you think that they were saying to themselves, ah, look at this. He will not relinquish anything. And here, we'll go off on our own. So we do it. Barnabas goes to Cyprus. That was his home area, you remember? He was from Cyprus to begin with, so he goes back there. Now, to see how the churches are doing. And they worked that out. And then Paul chose Silas. Now you remember Silas was one of the two men that came down from Jerusalem that were encouraging the church there in Antioch and preaching to them and working with them there. And Silas stayed on at Antioch. And so Paul chose Silas, and they departed, and they went to Syria, through Syria, and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, I don't know if it means anything, but if you notice in verse 40, it says, Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. It sounds to me like the church at Antioch sent out Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, right? Barnabas went out on his own. It sounds like it. It doesn't say that the church sent him. So anyway, we do find something good from this, though, right? I've mentioned this before, I think. But instead of having one missionary team, now you've got two missionary teams. And they're going out to preach the gospel. And whether or not their feelings were hurt, I don't know about all that, but I'm sure they must have eventually gotten over that, right? And they went and preached the gospel and encouraged the believers in two different areas. So now they have twice as many people going out as before. So this is a wonderful thing. Two teams were formed. You know, it says in Romans 8:28. I think I had that on the front of the book, didn't I? Mark put it on that this time. It says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So even when we have disagreements, perhaps, or when things seem to be going wrong, God is still able to work things in such a way that it turns out for good. Isn't that great? He's able to do that. And he does that so often. We make a mistake, we fall on our face, and God has to pick us up and say, okay, get going. And that's what happened here. And now they've got the two missionary teams going out. God overruled, and he brought glory to himself. So that's a wonderful thing. So here we find this disagreement, division taking place. And now, Paul and Silas and Barnabas and Mark are both going out and doing twice the work that they would have done. And then we see here, beginning in chapter 16, it talks about another disciple that Paul is going to bring on his team. Now you notice here, from this time on, the book of Acts only speaks about the work of Paul. It no longer says anything more about Barnabas. Barnabas isn't mentioned again in the book of Acts. So we find here Paul is the one who is going to be followed through his missionary travels and all the work that he's doing and showing forth the work of God. So here we find he comes along. It says in verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Oh, so here we find Timothy, one of the faithful believers there, apparently in Lystra, I think. Derbe and Lystra must have been close together. They always mentioned them together. But anyway, there in this particular area, Timothy was an active member of the local church and serving the Lord faithfully. And it's thought that he might have been converted on the first missionary trip. We don't know. But we do know that he was raised in a home by his mother and his grandmother, reading him the scriptures. Since from the time that he was an infant, they read him the word of God. They were believers, both his mother and his grandmother. Apparently his father was not a believer. It just says he was a Greek. And it doesn't say anything about him having any positive influence over Timothy. But his mother and grandmother were, and they taught him the scriptures. And then when Paul came, he conscripted him, we could say. He got him, and he said, "I want you to come with me, right? I want to teach you a few things so that you can be a better servant of the Lord." And Timothy, according to the other scriptures, became like a son to Paul. Now, Paul didn't have any children of his own, apparently, but he adopted some along the way, didn't he? And Timothy is one of those that he took under his wing and taught him everything he knew and gave him responsibility. He placed him in various places as pastor or as a leader in the work. And Timothy was able to serve the Lord in that way. And so here we find he's coming back to him again. And he says about him, he was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So these two churches, these two places, apparently he would go back and forth, I guess. You know, must have been close by. And so they said, he's a good man. He's a good servant. He loves the Lord. And Paul said, that was great. I remember him from last time. And so he took him and prepared him to go with them as a missionary. Now, you remember we talked last week about the fact that you didn't have to be circumcised to be saved, right? You didn't have to, as a Gentile, you didn't have to become a Jew and all this. But here, Paul took Timothy and circumcised him. Why? It tells you. Because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So they knew that his father probably had not bothered to have him circumcised. The Greeks didn't do that ordinarily. And he was raised by his mothers, so they considered him a Jew, right? To be the son of a Jewish woman makes you Jewish, right? But since he wasn't circumcised, that made him an apostate. As far as the Jewish people were concerned, he wasn't accepted by the local congregation of Jews. So Paul said, well, let's take care of that situation. He went ahead and circumcised him so that he would be accepted and be able to go to all these places. Wherever there was a Jewish synagogue, they could be welcomed in. And he could speak forth the word of God. So that's what it's all about here. He went through this ritual, not because he needed it for salvation. It's very clear throughout all the scriptures. You read the book of Galatians, you'll see. You're not saved by being circumcised or being keeping the law. No way. You're saved by grace through faith. And that's what he's doing this for convenience so that they will accept him and it will not hinder the work of the Lord. So here Paul takes him and wants to teach him how to serve. And in verse 4, as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, and that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. You remember the letter that James and the other apostles had written saying, you know, that the Gentiles were free from the law. They didn't have to follow the law. And Paul and the others took these papers with them and showed them the truth that they were free to serve the Lord without any hesitation. They could go ahead and be faithful Christians, even though they were not Jews. Now, this goes along with Paul's policy. Oh, if you would look with me in 1 Corinthians and chapter 9, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Notice what it says. Paul says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. He says, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Okay? So this is Paul. Paul said, I'm willing to die daily. Right? I'm willing to let my desires go and do whatever is necessary in order to reach people with the gospel. He said, well, compromiser. No, that's not a compromise. He was Jewish. And so he said, yes, I'm Jewish. Okay. And they accepted him for that. They allowed him to speak in the synagogues and all that. He said, that's a good thing. Also, he went there and preached the gospel to the Gentiles, and he said, hey, you know, I'm from Cilicia over here, Tarsus. You know, I've been here with you guys all the time, and he's willing to be without law in that sense, following the teachings. And then he says, to the weak, I became weak. He didn't put himself above anyone else, you know. He wasn't the right reverend or the apostle to, you know, all that kind of stuff. He was his Paul. And that's the way each one of us should be as we seek to reach other people. To the weak, be weak. You know? Not that you have to go around moaning and groaning about your illnesses. I don't mean that. But at least sympathize with folks and be able to get on their level. And so, all these things, we found Paul, this is his policy, that he was going to be, this circumcision certainly had nothing to do with his salvation, but it was a matter of helping him be accepted by the Jewish people and be able to reach them with the gospel. Because salvation is by grace, as I said, through faith in the Lord Jesus, without any works of any kind. We know that, right? Everywhere they went, they saw progress and growth in the churches. Notice it says that. So were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Oh my goodness! Think of that. They increased in number daily. Wow. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We find here they're going about doing the work. And then we find the Holy Spirit is working. Notice, this is the secret I think Paul had, is that the Holy Spirit was working through him and through the others as well. And we find direction from the Holy Spirit beginning in verse 6. And it's interesting. I was just looking at the Facebook thing yesterday. This one writer that I like, he has God's greenhouse, right? And he puts on a devotional every day. And he has something in here that pertains to this, right? Let me just read this to you. Has God ever shut a door on you? Have you ever set your eyes on a ministry only to have it closed or go off the tracks to not even begin? It seemed sensible to go down a certain road, but the door was closed, and despite your best efforts, refused to open. He said, well, welcome to the club. You're not alone. We find here the Apostle Paul and Silas were forbidden. They were forbidden to go into the areas where they wanted to go. This was their plan. They had it all set up, you know. Everything was all arranged to go in here to Galatia and Phrygia. And said they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. I don't know how he did it. What do you think? You're thinking, how did the Holy Spirit forbid them to go? I don't know. But he did. They understood. They got the message. And so they knew they weren't supposed to go that way. So they came on down to Mysia. They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They were not allowed to go, right? He had other plans. You know, it's something when God has a door that's open, you can go through it, right? And when He shuts the door, forget it. You can't go that way. You can beat your head against the door, you know, trying to get in there, but it's not going to work. So here we find this is what's happening here with Paul. He says, walking submissively to God's will is a most interesting walk. And then he gives a little personal thing here. He says, as a teenager, I enjoyed chess. Any of you ever play chess? Okay. Got two, three? Okay. I tried a couple times, but no, didn't get very far. Anyway, we find here, he says, I enjoy chess. I was never good at predicting moves three and four steps further in the game. In many ways, that game, represents the Christian life. Even the most skilled of us have limited visibility. But our partner knows every move before we even begin the game. You know who the other partner is? God, right? He knows all about it. He knows where we're going. He knows what we're going to do. And we don't. He has the advantage, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Anyway, we find He knows which move will close a path to us and which move will open a path. And yet we are not able to see past the end of our nose. So, that is why walking submissively to God's will is a walk of faith in an all-knowing and all-wise God. The Apostle Paul yearned to preach the gospel in Asia, and God shut them. Paul saw a great need and probably obsessed over that need, but he did not force the issue. He submitted to God's will, though it made little sense at the time. Then the rest of the chapter here indicates why God stopped Paul. It's not the time to go to Asia, but it is the time to go to Macedonia. Here we find the negative guidance of the Holy Spirit. He absolutely forbade him to go to these areas. You can't go there. No. So they came down to Troas, which is right on the shore, to go across the Aegean Sea into Europe. You know, every time I think about that, it makes me so glad, so happy, so joyful that the Lord did that. Because, you know, the Europeans were just a bunch of pagans running around out there in the woods someplace, you know. And here Paul comes along and evangelizes them. They get saved and they begin to live righteously and doing the will of God. And I think most of us are European, but in one time, we're not European. We are Americans, right? But I mean, our back. Most of us. If you look back far enough, you'll find out that we came from Italy, Greece, England, someplace over there, where if Paul had not obeyed the Lord and gone to Macedonia at this time, then where would we be? So it's wonderful just to think about that. The direction of the Holy Spirit, both negative and positive. Here, notice what happened. In verse, they came down to Troas, verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul. He said, well, we don't know that. Do we see anything? No. We need, but anyway, back in the day, Paul saw the vision, right? Thank goodness. And it says in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Oh. And immediately, he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel. They didn't hold back. And did you notice? It says here, immediately we endeavored to go. Up until this time, they've been talking about he and him and they and them. Now he says, we. Who's we? Who's writing the book of Acts? Dr. Luke. This apparently is where he joined the party and went across the sea into Europe with the Apostle Paul, joining in the party there and serving the Lord together. So here we find this is where Luke, the physician. You know, Paul has he had some problems, didn't he? Was it his eyesight or something of that nature, or something else perhaps that he had some kind of problem with? And here we have a doctor showing up. Was that, does that mean that he was there to cure the ill to Paul? I don't know. So, well, Paul could heal people, couldn't he? Think of that. How many people did he heal? You know? And yet, he had his own problems. Can you understand that? Why is it that God limits us in certain areas? Paul said he prayed three times for this thorn in the flesh to be removed. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And he didn't take it away. Paul had to put up with it. Just like you have to put up with your lumbago or whatever else you might have. Right? Sometimes you can't help it, though. Take enough Tylenol or aspirin or something. Might help. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Anyhow, we see here the way that this is going. They are going to go into Macedonia. And so they loosed from Troas. They came with a straight course to Samothracia on the other side, the next day to Neapolis, and then they went to Philippi. Now, Philippi was a large city at that time, one of the chief cities of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. That means it was a Roman colony. They went by Roman rules. They had their laws all set up according to the Roman system. This was an important city, and Paul seemed to do that, you know. Whenever he went into a certain area, he would go to the main area, the capital city, or something like that, where he could reach more people, you know. And then from there, they would go out into the land around about and proclaim the gospel. We used it in that way. That's the way it was here at Philippi. And so he is going to evangelize here in this area. And here at Philippi, there was no synagogue. You know, Paul usually went to the synagogue, didn't he? Whenever he reached a new place. But apparently they did not have a synagogue here, so he didn't go. It says in verse 13 that he went on the Sabbath, he went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Now, my note says that it might legally be made. So they had you know, since there was no synagogue, they had a place down by the riverside where they could go and have their meetings and pray and put on their Jewish rituals and all the rest. So these were these ladies that were meeting together. I couldn't say anything about it to you. Now, yeah, you remember, in order to have a synagogue, you had to have 10 men, right? Since there weren't that many, apparently, and no one was really interested, these ladies met together down by the river, and they met there to pray. So they already had a predisposition for God and for His Word. And it mentions here in verse 14 a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. So see, she had come from someplace else. Thyatira was over in Asia Minor, across the river, across the sea, right? Anyway, we find here that she's there and she worships God. So she was like a proselyte, I guess you would say, a Gentile who was worshiping the God of Israel. She heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Think of that. As she attended unto the things which were spoken upon. So here we find that God spoke to her in her definite way. She understood and she accepted the message that He was bringing and put her faith and trust in the Lord. I like that expression, whose heart the Lord opened. And she had to look to Him, right, in faith and believing, but He opened her heart to receive the truth of the gospel. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she was changed. So here she opened up her home. Now she was a business lady, it says here. She was a seller of purple. That was a very prestigious occupation. This purple was a special vine that they had. That the rich people would buy. And so she was a seller of that. And she had, no doubt, a home large enough for Paul and his company to come in. So she was baptized. Her household were all believed that they were baptized. And she said, if you judge me faithful, come and be with me. So we see the way they come. Excuse me. That the Lord was blessing here and helping this lady to come to Christ. We don't know if any of the others did or not. Maybe they did. But she and her household were converted, and Paul had a place then to meet together for church services or whatever else they needed to do. She opened up her home to them, and God was blessing them in a mighty way. So, praise the Lord. This is how the work got started there in Philippi. We'll look next week. We'll take a look at what happens after this. But at any rate, God is able to move and work. And we need to look to Him for the wisdom and understanding to know when the door is shut. We don't try to go through it. And when the door is open, here we go. Right? Keep that in your mind. Dear Father, we thank you this morning for your word to our hearts. As we've looked into the scriptures, we pray that you'll help us, guide us, direct us, show us what to do. We pray for our church. Help us, our Father, to continue on and serve you faithfully. We just thank you for each and every one that does come. And we just pray that you'll continue to work in our lives, bring in others, that we might be able to grow, become stronger, and able to do more for your glory. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in our lives, we pray. In His name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for its challenge to us and the things we have learned. We pray that we will take and have your Spirit seal in our hearts these things. Thank you for our church. We pray for your continued blessing upon us. We pray that you would draw us closer to you each time we gather. And bless us as we leave today. Use us for your kingdom, for your glory. We pray that we'll have the privilege to share the gospel with people today and into this week. We pray that people will come to faith in Christ, like we read about in the chapter today. That people are added daily. We pray that you would use us as the salt and light that you have called us to be. May we please you in all things. Thank you for your Spirit's presence, and thank you now as we head home. We pray for your protection and safety as we leave, and we pray that you would bless again as we come back tonight at 6 to look at your word together. We give you thanks and praise for all these things. In Jesus' name.